Wake Up Call continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, the good, the bad, and the dumb. And man, I missed this a full week of no good, the bad, and the dumb. So I got a lot of catching up to do.
Yeah, you know what? I missed it too because it was not aired once.
Well, let's get this rolling.
So I thought about doing this as a good, but then I came across another good. But part of the first good is, you know, hey, welcome back.
Thank you.
That's always makes for the good of the day when we have Tony D coming back to the airwaves.
I thank you very much. It was a fun vacation.
But now on to the real good.
Yes.
A 23-year-old man in England, Will Cutbill, can add Guinness World Record holder to his resume for stacking for creating the tallest stack of M&Ms.
He was able to stack M&Ms?
He was able to stack M&Ms, and guess how tall his stack was?
Oh no, how tall?
5.
Oh, is that that's a world record?
That's the world record.
So if I got a bag of M&Ms right now and I tried to do 6, it could take me forever.
It could take you forever. He started practicing during the pandemic because he was home and, you know, working from home and had nothing else to do. So So the world record was 4, and now the world record is his, certified his, at 5.
Okay, so they're round. This must be really difficult to do.
He's an engineer.
Oh, forget it.
To be on top of that. And, you know, he says they don't have a flat bottom. So it's really hard to find like that perfect, like everything, they're perfectly round. And so I don't know. I mean, I'm looking at it and it seems like 5, that should be easy.
Yes, exactly. That sounds like a carnival game where you're like, win the big prize.
Yes.
If you can stack 5 M&Ms. And you're like, absolutely. Here's my
$10.
Yeah, and they give you the 5 M&Ms. You're like, whoa, wait a minute.
Get that oversized teddy bear that I have to carry around for the rest of the day.
Exactly.
But no, records at 5. So if you have dreams of making the Guinness World Records, that's a fun one.
Yeah, that sounds like something you could see somebody go, oh, that's let me just grab a bag right now. I'm in. And then they just 5 years later, they're still doing it. Going, I can't do this.
Just make sure you document it. I mean, every single time he went for the attempt, he was videotaping himself. So.
Oh, very good.
Because you would hate to do it.
No.
And, you know, get blamed for cheating because you only took a photo. You need a video.
Any word on, I mean, maybe it wasn't in the story, but how long it has to be in that position before it can topple over?
No, actually, you can't have your hand. The only thing I saw on it, because he was watching the video, he just put his hands away and then started silent screaming, you know, that thing, because I think he was afraid even his noise would topple it over. I mean, he stepped back from the table and he was like, ah!
What an amazing accomplishment.
I mean, 5 M&Ms. It doesn't seem like much, right?
Do you think that impresses the ladies when you go out and tell them that?
You have it framed. I mean, maybe you laminate a small little card and you're just like Guinness World Record holder. And, you know, everyone wants to know why and how.
Exactly.
And the problem is that people say, oh, 5, do it.
How do you drop that in a conversation so you let people know you've done this? But because it can't just come.
Can't come natural.
It can't come natural. You're like, hey, how's work? Work's going great. But did you know I stacked 5 M&Ms to set the new world record? No, I did not. I didn't even ask you about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, what about like your first day back in the office?
Yeah, right.
I mean, you know, businesses are opening up all across the world. And, you know, what does he do? He's like, hey, what'd you do during the pandemic during your off time?
Yeah, right?
Stacked M&Ms.
I know.
Got a world record. No big deal.
That's awesome. All right, what's the bad of the day?
I actually have 2.
2 bads.
Yeah, 2 bads. Because
I come back from vacation and give me 2 bads.
Well, because you were gone for some time, so you know, we have to kind of play catch up because there's 2 that... Because every single day we get new info, but there's some stories that happened last week that was just like, they're too good not to do. The first one belongs to Reds announcer Chip Curray. Reds Major League Baseball, right?
Okay.
Play-by-play guy. And you know how this works. These guys are usually handed information, and they just kind of read it. So he had his Ron Burgundy moment, and here it is.
And that is not a misspelling on the back of his Reds jersey. He is the first and only major leaguer whose last name ends in X in the history of the game. How about that?
That's Chip Carey.
Carey. Okay, Chip Carey. Sorry.
Yeah.
I said it wrong.
That's okay. He's the grandson of Harry Carey.
Yeah. And
his father was Skip Carey, longtime voice of the Braves.
Harry Carey might be very upset with him.
Yeah. Why?
So, well, yeah. So Hendricks was up to bat had an X in his name, and I imagine somebody handed him a piece of paper, and he just read it.
He just read it. Yeah.
He just read it.
That does happen, though.
Because, you know, as we can point out very quickly that, you know, the people like Greg Maddux or Sandy Koufax
right
Jimmy
off the bat.
Fox,
yeah.
Nelly Fox. I mean, you know,
there's probably 100 Foxes yeah. who have played in the 150 year history of baseball.
And let's not forget, you know, the Sax brothers either.
Right. The Sax brothers.
Steve Sax.
That's right.
I can't remember his other brother's name, but he played
Steve Sax. I don't know why I'm bringing this up. Steve Sax was a character on the Simpsons baseball team.
Yes.
They pulled him over. The cops pull him over in Springfield, and the cop goes, "Steve Sax from New York City. I heard somebody got murdered in New York, but you wouldn't know anything about that, would you, Saxy boy?" That was the line I remember from Homer at the Bat. I don't know why I remember that. Oh, my God. Yeah, I've done plenty of play-by-play where I get handed cards. It's really hard. You just trust it at the moment.
Yeah.
I don't fault him.
No, I'm not faulting him either.
At the same time, because sometimes you work and people just throw you, like, you got to get this in. And you'd go, okay. And you just say it. And you're like, this is when you rip your producer or the person next to you. Like, next time you hand me a piece of paper, triple check this.
Yeah. That's why I was calling it his Ron Burgundy moment.
Right. Exactly. Because Ron Burgundy reads things off the teleprompter. That's not necessarily his fault.
No.
Right.
I mean, he will read anything.
Anything. That's right. That would be a fun game with Chip Carey. Like, what can we get him to say?
Maybe. Right.
Like, how far could we push the limit of our silliness?
What if it becomes
Chip
like
Carey?
A running gag? Like, you know, right. how, like, Jimmy Kimmel always bumps Matt Damon.
Right,
you know,
exactly.
Like, you know, say, no, trust me, this is legit. I triple checked
exactly,
this one. And
exactly.
just see how Twitter blows up after it.
Yeah, just be like, hey, he's the first player from New Jersey to ever make the majors. Let's see if we can get away with that. And then he goes with it, and you're like, man, this is easy. He'll buy anything we tell him.
He'll say it.
Exactly.
Just put it on the card.
What's the second bad?
The second bad, you know, unfortunately, I don't have a name because she is on the run, but to the fan at the Tour de France.
Oh, my God. I did not miss. This was gold.
If you haven't seen it, just type in Tour de France. It's the first thing that'll pop up. Anyways, she held up a sign. I don't know what the sign said because it was in French.
Right.
But it's the opening stage. The racers are starting on this 27-day journey?
Yeah,
right.
26-day
journey.
Right? Yeah.
I mean, it's a whole month of racing all throughout France. She's holding a sign, kind of steps onto the road, and it just causes this gigantic pileup where bikes and cyclists are thrown everywhere.
It was chaos. It was a disaster, an absolute disaster.
I mean, so much to the point that yes, police, French authorities. I guess I don't know. What would you call them? They're on the lookout for her.
They're looking for her. They say they want to sue her.
Yeah.
They want to be like, we're going to make this a deterrent. We're going to make sure this does not happen again.
I'm surprised. Don't they usually? I guess not, because you can't do that for like the 5,000 miles that they race. But
right.
I would have thought they would have like a little barricade, especially at the beginning stage, right?
At the beginning stage, you would think that they would, that would be more coordinated,
like that yellow
than when they're
caution
spread
tape?
Out. Yeah, like on mile 10 or 22 or whatever. It's
right.
A little bit less. But yeah, you would think right in the opening stages that would be like, hey, we're barricading this off right now down the road.
Yeah.
You know, we can get the silliness. But yeah.
Or at the beginning of every stage, because like when they do this stage, I mean, everyone's starting at the same time. It's just hard enough to start pedaling because there's so many bodies around there. But
when I was in high school, I lived in France in one summer of 88. And I was an exchange student, and I met a family friend of our family that I was staying with that travel to a point on the map, and they go there and they picnic and they wait for the bikers to come by.
Really?
And then they cheer and then they hang out and leave. And I thought that was fascinating that they would do that.
Is their picnic full of wine and cheese?
I'm sure it is. I'm sure it is. But I thought it was amazing that you would do that. They drove because where I lived, it was not on the route, so it was like a good it was a good little drive to go to where the map was. But they would go. There was a picnic area. They went with some of their friends. Here come the riders! Yay! LA! And then done. That's it. Finish your cheese and wine and go home. And that's it. But they felt like it was their big national pride, that was their big, they loved that race.
That's so their thing.
All right, what's the dumb of the day?
The dumb of the day. Well, it was the dumb of the week last week, because this story, I don't know when the story came out, sometime last week, but China is wanting to nominate the Wuhan Institute of Virology for the Nobel Prize.
Oh, my God.
Now, this place was successful in identifying COVID-19, in which they created.
Yeah, I would think they would, right? Yeah, if I'm China, I kind of stay away from this for a little bit.
Yeah, maybe.
Like you wouldn't want,
back away. I mean, maybe find something else in China.
Yeah, don't put the spotlight on the negative part of your house, right? Yeah. Like don't make it obvious. I mean, some of the
China, what I would say, double down and nominate that gigantic dam that they built that changes the Earth's rotation.
Sure.
When it fills up too much.
Do that.
Slows it down a little bit because it's so heavy in that one spot.
Do that. That's a good idea.
I couldn't wait to share this story with you.
Yeah.
Nobel Prize for the Wuhan Institute of Virology.
And what if they win?
What if they win?
You know what?
They get $1.6 billion if they do,
I'm telling you right
Something
now.
Something like that.
I'm telling you right now. You know how you and I talk about Behind the Music, VH1's Behind the Music?
Yep.
The one of the most famous ones was the one they did on Milli Vanilli. Do you remember Milli Vanilli?
Of course.
Did this one? They said, one of the guys said, the group went to the Grammys, and he goes, all we wanted was to not win the Grammy, because if we won the Grammy, the clock is ticking, and we won the Grammy.
Yep.
And they were depressed because then the spotlight's now everything about you. You just won the Grammy. So now more people are looking into you, and that's when the whole thing fell apart and uncovered. I would not want to win this if I was the Wuhan Institute of Virology. I would not want to win this at all. Right. Oh no. Here comes even more scrutiny. Oh goodness. All right, that was fun. I'm glad we're back at it.
I can't imagine. I'm just thinking about if they did win.
I know. Nuts. Crazy. All right, that's the good, the bad, and the dumb. Got a buy or sell coming up later this hour as we continue along a wake up call.